This podcast brought to you by the English Department at Florida State University.
And introducing Deborah Landau is Jessica Plant. Come on up here, Jessica.
Thank you. Super excited to be standing up here. And I want to thank Keith Kopka for inviting me to introduce Deborah tonight, and also to everyone who puts together the reading series and organizing this. We're so fortunate to have this in our community and to have such amazing poets and writers come and mingle with us here in North Florida in this near panhandle, swampy, Seminole territory, capital city. I don't know what this place is still yet. I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm super glad that we're all here tonight. So in order to introduce Deborah, I'm going to give you a little anecdote. Once, after giving notice at a job I'd had in Denton, Texas for 5 years, I thanked a restaurant full of coworkers at my going away party for the very human experience that working with them had been. And they all looked at me quizzically like I was a little crazy. Later, privately, I asked myself why I'd used such language to describe our 9-to-5 existence, which felt scripted down to the near zero of surprise. I was totally embarrassed. I was actually reminded of this incident when I sat down to write the introduction for Deborah, because I realized that had she been in the restaurant that afternoon, she would have known exactly what I had meant, and I like to think would have nodded and made me feel like my comment was normal or even wise. This is because Deborah's work speaks about the world in terms of human experience. In her poetry, we find marital discord, fertility clinics, a world in which our organs growing older in their plush pockets are ticking towards the wearing out, in which the day was going toward the narrow place, the blank. I think had Deborah been a coworker of mine, I would have felt sisterly toward her. I mean, that is how her poetry makes me feel. Like I could meet her for coffee and discuss anything, and that she'd always be a step ahead of me, ready with a kind word. Deborah is a poet who is concerned most of all with living life. It is experience that she places first and then captures in language what is fleeting, transitory, and ineffable. She asks in her poetry, "Life, please explain." And we, her readers, are then caught up in and revealed in her questioning. Her work is rooted not just in understanding a single life or body, but asks why and how it is that each of us have come to own a body, and what that burden and privilege means. In her poem, Lola and the Grape, she writes, "The geometry of the body in its living skin, its capacious hunger for evening, for the nearness of another clamoring in darkness. You are here, you are here, the steady, stubborn rise of human breath along the trail from here to there. We are made to see both the chore and exaltation of living. We are called to understand that the body is inescapable and that it is okay to thank it and curse it." In the title poem of her new book, Landau writes, "The uses of the body are wake up, the uses of the body illusion." She goes on to confront both what we cherish and dismiss about ourselves, our fragile lives and aging bodies, our tenuous relationships, and she doesn't swerve or look away when things break down or weaken. Instead, in fact, her work welcomes these realities. In an interview published by Oprah's Living Line by Line series, Landau says, "All we know is the first line of our lives and the last. Birth and death are the beginning and end of everyone's story. As for what comes in between, we may not be able to anticipate or control the major plot points, conceptions and births, love affairs, accidents and acts of God, gains and losses, illnesses, deaths, but what we can choose is how we respond to what comes toward us, the paths we take day by day." And she continues, if the future is uncertain, why not act boldly? This is our one and only chance. We are writing our own lives. Landau's 3 volumes of poetry include her most recent, The Uses of the Body, which was released this year, and The Last Usable Hour, both of which were published by Copper Canyon Press. And her first collection, Orchid Delirium, which has been published by our very own Tallahassee-based Anhinga Press. Go and buy them over there. Her poems, which have been widely anthologized, can also be found at the Paris Review, the New Yorker, the Boston Review, Poetry, and Tin House, among others. She also teaches and directs the creative writing program at NYU. Please help me in welcoming to the stage Deborah Landau.
Thank you. That was the nicest introduction I've ever received, and I mean that, really. Thank you so much. And thanks to Aaron for inviting me, and to Keith, and also to Rick Campbell and Lynn Knight. They did my first book, 10 years ago, 11. And at that time, I was here at this very place, under this roof, and so it's nice to be back and to see all of you who probably weren't here 11 years ago. I hope we'll all be here 11 years from now. Okay, so I'm going to read some poems. Solitaire. One summer there was no girl left in me. It gradually became clear. It suddenly became. In the pool, I was more heavy than light, pockmarked and flabby in a floppy hat. What will my body be when parked all night in the earth? Midsummer, breathe in, breathe out. I'm not on the oxygen tank. Twice a week we have sex. The live girls poolside, I see them at their weddings. I see them with babies, their hips thickening. I see them middle-aged. I can't see past the point where I am. Like you, I'm just passing through. I want to hold on a while, don't want to not or forsake, don't want to be laid gently or racked raw. If I retinol, if I marathon, if I vitamin C, if I crimson my lips and streakish my hair, if I wax, exfoliate, copulate beside the fish-slicked sea, fill me I'm cold, fill me I'm halfway gone. Would you crush me in the stairwell? Could we just lie down? If the brakes don't work, if the pesticides won't wash off, if the seventh floor pushes a brick out the window and it lands on my head, if a tremor, menopause, cancer, ALS, these are the ABCs of my fear. The doctor says, I don't have a pill for that, dear. Well, what would be a cure-all, ladies? Gin and tonics on a summer night? See you in the immortalities. Oh, blurred. Oh, tumble rush of days we cannot catch. So the book, can you hear me okay? I'm kind of like hunching over this thing, as usual. So the book is comprised of, this is the new book, I'm only reading poems from this book tonight, linked lyric sequences that loosely summarized, consider the pleasures and complexities of marriage and domestic life. And so it's hard to read from. I'm going to read now a long sequence, skipping around a little bit, and I'll just pause the little fragments that compose the sequence, so I'll just pause between them. And then after this, I'll read one meaning of a sequence, and that's it. It's only been 3 minutes. I set a stopwatch. The uses of the body. The uses of the body are manifold. Lips, fingers, the back of the neck. One should make as full a use as possible before time's up. In paradise, you should appreciate. Don't squander. Take a deep, juicy bite, then swallow. Peaches are meant for tasting. In paradise, we lay, and many afternoons brought pleasure and relief. In opera, you get what you need. It's not marriage. A man to sleep with. A place to lay my head at night. He knows every road of me, can find the turnoff without a map, can drive along the low stone wall in the dark until he reaches the open field, and I go with him, countryside. I haven't broken any law. I'm in my own car, staring into my own parking place. He's my co, my accomplice. I hardly see him. Men look at me like they have the thing I want. That somber, hungry force field smack on. It lies there. Is he aware? I cannot see where this will end. I can see where I need to go, but never get there. When I lie in bed, my limbs go numb. When the sky darkens, the urge is there, but also the mandate to tamp it down. Always the urge, always the mandate. You're still young, Paul says, but youth will burst all at once and be gone forever. The uses of the body are wake up. The uses of the body, illusion. The uses of the body, rinse, repeat, to make another body. September, draw the blanket up, lace your shoes. The major and minor passions, sunlight, hair. The basic pleasures, tomatoes, Keats, meeting a smart man for a drink. The uses of the body, it's only a small house, it gets older. It's upper and lower, it's red and white trim. It's tempting to gloss over this part so you won't really see me. In my opinion, handsome Dr. Randy, you are brown-haired and Roman, swift with your hands. Babies are big this year, so way less smoking and drinking, so way more eating cheese. I have someone to give birth to, and he has all the credentials, heartbeat, feet. His father helped out. We decided to make him standing in the bathroom one night. We made him with things we had around the house. We made him with our own pots and pans. I still have the pantry, the pocket, the mandate. It looms there, a child. We set out, and then he went out the right way, head first. And we made it to the clearing. We made it out, and then he and I were in a blinking, in a fuzz-down lair. The uses of the body, nursing, lightning, the clear, warm sea. I don't cook, but I could make a baby, and he was warm and plump as pie. I dreamed him, and there he was, miniature, vast, and unhygienic. He was my homework, and I took him home. The baby was pathetic. All he could do was nada, blank cry, and open his eyes. The two of us were nocturnal mostly. In exile, we regressed to a prostrate luxury, as if now would never be thirsty or die, not ever. And look at me, all my guilt peeling off. The uses of the body are heavy and light. Bellinis, cradles, carousels, biopsies, sobriety, sensible shoes. I am cozy. I am full of want until chest pain, until a heavy cramp, the pain of form. See how caught up we are in our habitual flying patterns until we have to look the unfair doctor in the eye. The genitals are irrelevant then. Dr. Rakowski, what was it you said? Doctor, lay your hands on me. Doctor, swoop in with needles and with knife. Doctor, bleed me up and puncture me. You are just doing business. This is how you spend your life. Doctor, remove the pests in me, prove me female, then make me repent. Doctor, give me this body to enjoy before dying. Yes. You are kindly when you want to be, and other times you make me weep. Doctor, I'm blistered. I hear voices. What can those be? And then I think I'm nothing. Yeah. Doctor, life isn't what I thought it would be. I suspect I'll flunk all your tests. Doctor, I'm troubled. Can you solve me, please? C'est super, la vie. the nurses sing, and the months go by like a dream, not killing us yet. The uses of the body, you see where they end, but we are only in the middle, only midway. The organs growing older and their plush pockets ticking toward the wearing out. We are here and soon won't be, despite the cozy bed, stuffed dog, pillows, books, clock. The boy with his socks on and pajamas, a series of accidental collisions, pressure in the chest, everyone breathing for now, in and out, all night. Before you have kids, you get a dog. Then when you get a baby, you wait for the dog to die. When the dog dies, it's a relief. When your babies aren't babies, you want a dog again. These sad things, they have to be. I go into the kitchen thinking to sweeten myself. Boiled eggs won't do a thing. Oysters, Lysol, peanut butter, gin, big baby face, getting fed. I am 20. I am 30. I am 40 years old. A friend said, "Listen, you have to try to calm down." At night, down the hall into the bedroom we go. In the morning, we enter the kitchen. Places, please. On like this, without alarm. I'm the talker and taker. He's the giver and the bedroom man. We are out of order, but not broken. He says, "Let's make this one short." She says, "What do you mean?" We set out and got nearer. Along the way, some loved ones died. Whole summers ruined that way. Take me to the door. Take me in your arms. Mother's been dead a decade, but her voice comes back to me now and often. Life accumulates a series of commas. First this, then that, then here, then him. A clump of matter, and here we are. Minutes, years. Wait, I'm trying to establish something with these people. Him, her, him. We make a little pantomime. Family, I say, wake up. The sentences, one, then another one in a line. And then we go on like that for a long time. I gotta do something. I'm like hunched over like crazy. So teach me not to wear heels. Okay. Oh, that's so much better. Okay. So I wrote that line, when your babies aren't babies, you want a dog again. And then what happened is my babies weren't babies and I had a baby again. And so I'm going to read from the end of the book a sequence called Late Summer, just part of it. And it's about the surprise appearance of my daughter. It's funny, Robin, how we both had that moment where the getting knocked up changed something. And this changed my poems. It changed everything. Late summer. But we already did everything. Then it came on again, and we were wearing it, like the same dress, a yellow one, a little worn, threadbare, out of date, lying in with wine glasses in the dirty light, a bit frayed, a bit bald-headed, a bit torn, but possible. Long days in leisure, long time in bed, and after a while of it, another while, limeade, New York. Stepping through garbage in sandals. Perpetually, we were the same, perpetually. Then a sound, loud hushed, like water running, something new in the foliage, something with soil in it, a little seed, something left of the bride, of the cooling stream, of the boat we once rode on, gliding. Tendrils round the neck, my favorite warm plaything. Something coming to bud, brought up again new, July, siesta, ethereal, and spun again from the deep locked interior. Something unhooked from its corset, unwheeled free to shine on us in our summer bedroom, verbena sheets. In the plain, crystalline summer, Something fucked with us, something recordless and without agenda, and we alone with it, indelicate. Out of our empty room, our mortality, our daring, something would be due and upon us. And who wouldn't, in some revelant, the sweet gum of it billowing, and I hoped but thought I'd be wrong, of utero, unspooling each perfect and upon again a summer day, and yet to grow rioting drunk and dance at M's wedding, and she just a pale and pure alcohol. She flipped around in there. I slept off the buzz. Could we have trampled her underfoot? She, sweet to ceaseless and essential, sit in summer's drawer. Though of a summer weekend, the deep burning life of things, July. That, and that's the, it's a favorite saying of a favorite doctor of mine. So much fear, I could draw you a diagram of the great reduction. Halfway red. I don't have a pill for that, the doctor said.